Every time I read this gospel about Thomas, as we always do on the second Sunday of Easter, I can't help but think that Thomas gets kind of a bad rap in history. How would you like to be known forever as Doubting Thomas? I mean, you spend 3 years living with Jesus, going everywhere. You're privileged to be one of the 12 apostles, the princes of the church, and forever you're known as Doubting Thomas? I don't know. Now, Thomas is in heaven now, so I'm sure he's gotten over it and everything's fine with him. But still, we look at this doubt, and we might be inclined to think, gosh, Thomas, you know, he just got it all wrong, and, you know, Thomas didn't have faith, and don't be like Thomas. I don't really think that's it at all. In fact, I probably would like to think that not only did Jesus know that Thomas wasn't going to be there on the first Sunday, he might have even had it planned that way. Because look what happens when Thomas does come to see Jesus finally the next week. He does something that none of the other apostles do. He bows down at Jesus' feet and says, "My Lord and my God." I think Thomas should be known as, you know, the apostle of the great confession, believing Thomas, or confessing Thomas, as opposed to doubting Thomas, because Thomas gets it exactly right today. So there are really two points in today's gospel that I'd like to look at a little bit. And the first is faith. You know, this is the year of faith that Pope Benedict proclaimed. Faith itself is quite a gift. We don't always have a good explanation, maybe, for how we came to faith. Sure, we can point to the details. Maybe somebody helped instruct us, like those who just became Catholic last Sunday at Easter. Or maybe we've just always been Catholic, and that gift of our faith has just seemingly always been there. But faith is almost a mysterious kind of thing. And really, I think our gospel today is written for us, to help our faith. Most of the time when we read the scriptures, we are reading about something that happened a long time ago, and, you know, we're reading an account about it, but we're not really a part of it. We're reading what somebody wrote about something that happened a long time ago, and we believe it happened, but we see it almost as kind of an outsider. Jesus did this, and then he went there, and then he did this. We might even be tempted to see the resurrection appearances as if they're just other events that happened 2,000 years ago. And then Jesus appeared here, and then he did this, and then he did that. But today's gospel is very unique, because this line in here of Jesus, he says to Thomas, "Have you come to believe because you have seen me?" Well enough, that's part of the story. But then Jesus says, "Blessed are those who have not seen and have believed." Blessed are those who have not seen and have believed. Who's he talking about? Well, it can't be anybody in the room. All the apostles see him. It's as if this little verse today is like a time capsule that Jesus put in the scripture to be opened by us today. In the joy of Easter that we experience, who are the ones who have not seen and yet believe? It's us. We've never seen the Lord, at least not the way Thomas and the apostles did, and yet we're here to say we believe. Not just believe that somehow, sometime along way in the past, some things happened that were really nice, but rather we're willing to stake our lives on the fact that we too, in some way, can say that we've seen the Lord. Think about it. Everyone who is here today believes in God, who they've never seen, who became a man who they've never met. We fully believe and have celebrated that he gave us the Eucharist, that he died on Good Friday, and that he rose from the dead on Easter Sunday, and that he appeared to the apostles. All of us believe that, and we're here, and we'd stake our life on that. And many of our brothers and sisters in history, the martyrs, have given their life for that truth. And yet, we've not seen. But we are not disadvantaged. Jesus tells us, rather, blessed are you. And blessed doesn't just mean, you know, good for you, or, you know, it'll be all right. Blessed means happy. It means the vision of God that one day we will all have in heaven. Beatus. The beatific vision. In some way, Jesus is telling us that we today actually have it better than the apostles had. The apostles, sure, they saw Jesus in the flesh, but they were also tempted, therefore, to limit Jesus. If Jesus is here, he can't be there. None of us would do that. We know Jesus is with us right now. He will be made present sacramentally in our altar very soon. In a special way, maybe we can say that we have seen the Lord. We see him in the Eucharist. We see him, especially today, in divine mercy. And that's the second thing I'd like to mention today, this feast of divine mercy. Notice that when the apostles get to see Jesus, he's in his glorified body. He has risen from the dead. His body is now perfect. It walks through walls. It appears wherever he wants. And yet he's still got these wounds. Now, I don't know about you, but when I envision that scene, if I'm the apostles and Jesus shows up, I'm thinking back to the last time I saw him. And that didn't go so well for the apostles. They all ran away. They denied him. Only John was able to stay at the cross. And the first thing Jesus does when he shows up is he shows them his wounds. Now, we might be tempted, if we were the apostles, to almost see that as kind of an accusation. You know, it could be, look what you did to me. But not with Jesus. Quite the opposite. He shows them his wounds, and he says, see what I did for you. See how much I love you. My mercy flows from my side that was opened by the spear. Now it flows out, the blood and water symbolic of the Eucharist and the sacrament of baptism. Divine mercy, forgiveness. That's how come Jesus is able to say, peace be with you. Don't be afraid. I know what you did. I know you abandoned me, but I also know what you're made of. I know your weakness, and I love you anyway. That's divine mercy. I think sometimes we look at confession and we think that, well, if I go to confession, that takes away my sins. It makes it so, you know, my sins never happened, because obviously God couldn't love me with all my sins, so I have to go and God kind of agrees to forget them. That's not what happens in confession. Just as Jesus still has those wounds, God doesn't take away the past. Rather, he takes the past and he says, I know, I see all the sins, I see all the brokenness, and I love you anyway. In fact, God loves us even more because we need his mercy. None of us can do it on our own. That's the other lesson of Thomas today. When he is away from the other 11, he can't do it. But when he's together, their faith is strong. None of us are made to try to be Christian on our own. We receive Jesus' divine mercy, especially through the church. That is what strengthens our faith. That's why throughout the world, in this season of Easter, we are strong with our brothers and sisters in the faith, as all together we rejoice in Easter. No, Jesus isn't going to take away our wounds any more than he took away his wounds. What he does do is take those wounds, even our sins, and transform them to be signs of his love for us. On this Divine Mercy Sunday, then, we hear the call of Jesus sending us. He says, as the Father has sent me, so I send you to the apostles. And what's the mission he gives them? Divine mercy. Whose sins you forgive are forgiven, whose sins you retain are retained. Of course, that's the beginning of the beautiful sacrament of penance that we know today. But it's also a call for each one of us who have received the mercy of Jesus to go out and be merciful. To be apostles, ones who are sent, apostles of God's divine mercy. Those are the lessons today from our scripture. Faith, it's a gift. We have to nurture it in a beautiful community. A community ultimately built on love and forgiveness. How beautiful our church would be to be modeled on those two pillars of faith and love. If we do that, we'll find that third theological virtue, great hope. Hope in the midst of everything going on in our world, now flooded with the divine mercy of Jesus. These are the great three held up for us this day then. Faith, hope, and love. Love as divine mercy.